Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, he had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk politics, shall we?
Oh, the humanity.
Film at 11.
This is Wretched Radio. In an effort to get you annoyed and to boost ratings, which is apparently what political talk does, this is the political edition of Wretched Radio, Southern Baptist Convention style. They're having some politics going on. Don't know if you are SBC or follow it. You should. Because the winds are blowing inside of the SBC, and we are wise to at least stick our finger up in the wind to try to figure out which way is the convention going, because it is the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. of A. Over the last several decades, it was veering increasingly to the right. Now it appears that there was a fair amount of movement to the left after all, and this 17 million member denomination is going to, I think, give us a little hint as to which way the winds are blowing strongest when they have their convention this year, hopefully, unless the COVID pushes it off like it did last year. Dr. Al Mohler, he has announced that he is going to be running for the presidency, but now he's got some competition, and this one is worth watching because it will give us a hint which way that, I was going to say denomination, but I know that they prefer convention. Just looks a lot like a denomination, but they call it a convention. They've got three people running now. Dr. Albert Mohler, he is running, and he is, as of late, been critical of CRT. I don't recall hearing his voice when the convention adopted Resolution 9, which affirmed CRT as a helpful analytical tool. But now he's saying it's not compatible with the Baptist Faith and Message theological statement. That happened recently. And immediately following that, two individuals have thrown their hat in the ring. I'm familiar with their side. I'm not familiar with them, even though one of the fellows has absolutely been very involved inside of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's going to be, let's just say, all right, if you had to do this, you had to like place people on a spectrum. You got the far left, you got the middle, and then you got way over to the right. Al Mohler, I would, if I had to like slot him, he definitely wouldn't be in the middle. These days, people would say he's definitely not far right. So let's just put him somewhere there. Now there is a fellow who is probably running more to the right of Dr. Al Mohler. He's related to the Founders Organization. So if you're familiar with Founders, Tom Askell, this man would probably slot closer there. His name is Mike Stone, former chairman. No, he's Ed Litton. No, he's Mike Stone. He's the other fellow. Mike Stone is the former chairman of the executive committee of the SBC, leader of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Blackshear, Georgia. He is a part of the Conservative Baptist Network. He's on the far right side. Let's just say, regarding CRT, by the way, not theologically, but regarding CRT, I think most people who are observing, at least what we know publicly, would put Al Mohler to the left side of him because I think Mike is more vocal as a critic of CRT. Then, got the middle. On the left-hand side, you would have Pastor Ed Litton. Now remember, on the theological spectrum, we're just looking at CRT here. I'm not talking about their Christology, their soteriology. I'm just talking about their CRTology, which we might as well throw it into the theological category because it is totally theological, just really bad theology. Nevertheless, Pastor Ed Litton of Redemption Church in Mobile, Alabama, which is a very Catholic town, by the way. Why? Because Mobile is very Franche. And the French tend to be, if they're anything Christian, it's going to be Roman Catholic. If you recall, historically, the Huguenots kind of got wiped out to the tune of 700,000 souls by the Roman Catholic Church in France. Nevertheless, Mobile, Alabama, predominantly Roman Catholic. There's a Southern Baptist church there. It is led by Pastor Ed Litton. He was nominated by Fred Luter. His name you may recall because he was the first and so far only black president of the SBC, endorsing him, who is also an endorser of CRT. Why would we care to follow this even if you're not Southern Baptist? You're going to see which way the winds are blowing inside of the largest convention denomination in the country. This will be a tell. It always is. Conventions are always worth noting. You track any of them and you can go, oh, I know where they're going to be in a couple of years. Yep, I know what they're going to be voting on in their next session. We've seen this with the ELCA, with the Methodist denomination. We're just going to meet to talk about the role of women in the church. 4 years later, pastors. It's just so predictable. So with CRT, which way the Southern Baptist Convention is moving, it's going to be fascinating. Because if you're, let's say even a little bit more than a casual observer of the Southern Baptist Convention, I think your overall impression would be, oh, well, they've moved so far to the right. They're becoming, you know, they've become so biblical after the big conservative takeover back in the 70s with men like Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley, David Miller, and Dr. Al Mohler. Well, now it appears that there are some folks that are leaving the SBC because of their, some people's position on CRT. The six seminary professors said, nope, it's not compatible with the Baptist faith and message. So some people are leaving, others threatening to leave. This vote will tell us which way the winds are blowing. Sit back, enjoy your popcorn, and pray for the Southern Baptist Convention. More political. Oh, I'm not very good at this. More political talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's in the title, right?
Oh, thank you, man.
Film at 11.
Do we have you annoyed yet?
Yes.
Are you kidding? Hey, it's really cold outside.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's in the title, right?
Oh, thank you, man.
Film at 11.
Political talk. Hey, Jimmy, by the way,
yes.
I love I mentioned this. We're watching our daughter's dog, Winnie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's with us for a number of days.
Hey, you gotta look in the title, right?
Oh, thank you, man.
Film at 11.
Oh, boy. Look at this. The New York Times suddenly interested in religion and the presidency. Now they're quite pleased with the current president's religion because, well, it's at best really, really liberal. And the New York Times making this claim, this is just a hootenanny if you ask me, because I think there was even an article in the New York Times, I know that there were several of them, about 3 years ago when some polling took place. What are the churches that are growing? Hands down, the only Protestant churches that were experiencing any sort of numerical growth in the USA and Canada, conservative, Bible-thumping churches growing. Every liberal church just shrinking and withering away. Headline from the New York Times is, in Biden's Catholic faith, not is, in Biden's Catholic faith, an ascendant liberal Christianity. No. Liberalism is not ascendant, and this thing just contradicts itself all over the place. Apparently, the new president, before taking the oath of office, went to the Cathedral of St. Matthew the Apostle. The preacher, very Irish fella, there's a shocker, Kevin F. O'Brien, your public service is animated by the same conviction of Jesus. Oh. It's blasphemy has a PH, not an F, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. I just want to make sure I've got that spelling right. Your public service is animated by the same conviction as Jesus, to help and protect people and to advance justice and reconciliation, especially for those who are too often overlooked and left behind.
Hmm.
That's really fascinating. Because if indeed Jesus was all about the business of making the world a better place, equality, he was a massive failure. If Jesus had been a social justice warrior, Israel would have been freed from Roman captivity. But that didn't happen. He didn't cast out every demon. He could have. He didn't kill the Roman guards when they came to arrest him. He could have. He didn't stop Pilate from oppressing the Jewish people. He could have. He didn't stop the Tower of Siloam from collapsing. Could have done that. Didn't put an end to human suffering. Didn't put an end to all hunger. Didn't put an end to physical death. If Jesus Christ is a social justice warrior to make the world a better place, if that is our expectation of him, he would get F's. The good news is that is not what he came to do. He came to do something grander and to do something bigger. He came to save sinners, to make dead men alive so that they could be reconciled to God. That is what Jesus is about. And to suggest otherwise, frankly, makes me just choke, especially when you compare Jesus with our current pro-abort president. This is Wretched Radio. If only we had a clip of Dr. Steve Lawson explaining what the Masters Academy International is and perhaps encouraging you to support it. Hey, what's this button?
The goal of TMAI is to take the timeless truths and the timeless principles that are found in the Word of God and build those into men in those countries so that they in turn can preach the Word of God and be used by God to plant churches.
Talk about providence, Dr. Steve Lawson. Commending and encouraging you to support this long vision ministry, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word of truth by going to a mini seminary, we'll call it, in 17 nations around the globe, trained by a master seminary graduate. It is brilliant. Please learn more about the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. Of course, we're grateful for you and your time, and we're also grateful when you share your wretched stories with us, or your questions or comments or your conundrums and snarks. And there are two easy ways for you to always share. First, you can email idea@wretched.org, or you can leave us a voicemail at BeepTalk, 1-877-282-BEEP. Either way, we would love to hear from you, just like this story we received from Michael, who says, "Dear Todd, your work has been an amazing part of this year's journey for my family. Your loving but head-on, no-nonsense delivery of the truth is sorely needed in the church today. I appreciate your devotion to God's truth. It's an inspiration, and I just wanted to take the time to write you, thanking you and the entire Wretched team for your work and faithfulness. It's truly been a blessing." And that was from Michael, and we want stories, wretched stories, just like that. We want your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and snarks as well. So please send those to us at idea@wretched.org or by calling Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 590 AD. Gregory becomes Pope Gregory I, known as the Great. He made treaties with Germanic tribes, independent of the emperor, and declared the Bishop of Rome's primacy over the whole church, increasing the political and spiritual power of the papacy significantly.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. But we are going to talk politics. This is Wretched Radio, despite my desire to hit this button. Not going to do it again.
Film at 11.
Because that would just be annoying at this point. But we keep watching Fox News anyway, don't we? Apparently, the New York Times thinks that liberal Christianity is ascendant. It's on the rise because our current president is a very liberal. Frankly, he doesn't even qualify for being Roman Catholic. And there are actually some Roman Catholics that have the courage to say so. Not many. But as is always the case these days, if you criticize anybody who's liberal, you're the bad person. So the conservative Catholics who look at Joe Biden and go, oh, let me get this straight, all of his positions are not biblical, and within Catholic tradition, that's very bad. Then suddenly the guns get turned on those guys for criticizing their guy. That is the world we are living in. What is up is down. What is down is up. The New York Times saying, in Biden's Catholic faith, an ascendant liberal Christianity. Oh. Mr. Biden, it writes, perhaps the most religiously observant commander-in-chief in half a century. Okay, I don't know where they get that statistic, nevertheless. I think Jimmy Carter might have something to say about that, even though his form of Baptist theology has left the Orthodox reservation long ago. He regularly attends Mass and speaks of how his Catholic faith grounds his life and his policies. No, they don't. If they did, he would not be so aggressively pro-abortion. He would not be so aggressively liberal in every moral issue. But in fairness to all of our evangelical friends who said it's okay to consider voting for liberals, at least he doesn't send out mean tweets. So, you know, more babies are dying. More families are going to be destroyed. But hey!
He's a nice guy.
He's polite. That's something. Are we all happy now? All happy about this? My evangelical politicos? Back to the article. And with Mr. Biden, a different, more liberal Christianity is a ascendant. Less focused on sexual politics and more on combating poverty, climate change, and racial inequality. Indeed, that's precisely what he is about. That is a very liberal form of Catholicism, very much into green issues, very much into trying to distribute wealth so that everybody has the same outcome, none of which is biblical, but nevertheless, it is liberal Roman Catholic. His rise comes as fewer this is my favorite part. So remember, liberal Christianity is on the rise. Then they state this, in the same article, by the way. His rise comes as fewer registered Democrats identify as Christian. Oh, I thought it was ascendant, but apparently the numbers are going down. But it's ascendant. Okay. Nearly half are religiously unaffiliated or believers of other faiths, a share that has grown significantly in recent years, according to Pew Research. The attendance at Catholic churches is way down. But now that a liberal one is the president, it's on the rise. Unbelievable. Yet the current influence of liberal Christianity in the Democratic Party is growing. Senator Raphael Warnock. Now, this is fascinating. I only brushed up against the Georgia campaign simply because I live here and you could not escape it. And I'll tell you something. Democrats absolutely out-hustled Republicans. Absolutely. Twice I had to go to a government office, and each time there were voting places, each time there were people outside and that would size you up as you were walking out and say, hey, did you vote? Cool. Who'd you vote for? And if you said Raphael Warnock, they would say, would you please right now text six friends? If you said you didn't vote for their guy, they just say, have a nice day. Wow. But they did it a few feet away from the polling place, so it was okay. When it, I'm not suggesting my visit to this particular civic office had anything to do with guns, but I was there, and as I was walking in, there were some fellows handing out free stuff, like a cooler, like the thing you put around a can of soda or something.
A koozie.
Okay. Is that what they're called? Koozie?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Yes. And I said, well, who are you people? Well, we're comedians for political engagement. A nonpartisan organization. Cool. What's your website? And I stood there with them. And there's pictures of Pelosi and Biden. Oh, you're nonpartisan. I gotcha. I'm telling you. They worked it, and I watched a bit of the Raphael Warnock campaign. It was fascinating that on his signs, it actually said, it said Raphael Warnock is a man of God. These were his campaign signs, or a pastor, something like that. And I thought, I thought liberals didn't like that kind of talk, unless it's their guy. This is what the article said in the New York Times. Senator Raphael Warnock, the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, won election with a campaign rooted in black liberation theology. I did not hear that. That was downplayed. Because, of course, the clips of him talking like a black liberation theologian. Oh, no. Those are taken out of context. No. I really didn't ascribe to those horrid views. He didn't run on that. He ran away from that. Nevertheless, the New York Times, to their ends, tried to cite him as an example of a rise of liberal Christianity. Representative Cori Bush, a pastor who led, did you know that? A pastor who led Kingdom Embassy International in St. Louis, started her tenure in Congress advocating universal basic income. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez connects her Catholic faith. Did you know she was Catholic? I didn't. With her push for reforming healthcare and environmental policy, she said her favorite Bible story, oh no, is one where Jesus in anger threw money changers out of the temple. Really? Listen, can you hear that screaming sound? It's her Bible. It's getting squeezed and twisted. Mr. Biden, at his acceptance speech, quoted Augustine, a saint in my church, he said, who wrote that, quote, a people was a multitude defined by the common objects of their love. I have no idea what the context of that is. I suspect it had nothing to do with being a pro-abort. Augustine wrote against that, you know, that saint of the Catholic Church, wrote against abortion, saying it's murder. And he quotes him. And he puts his hand on a Bible to be sworn in. Uzza called. He's concerned for you, sir. I don't know if you heard. That was the close of John MacArthur's sermon last Sunday. That's what he said. You put your hand on God's ark, if you will, the place where God is enthroned in his word, you are looking for trouble. Should we be praying for our president? Oh, yeah, that he would get saved. Should we be praying for Nancy Pelosi? Absolutely, that she would get saved. Chuck Schumer, all of them. They are going to be shocked when they meet their maker. From the article in the New York Times, Jose H. Gomez of Los Angeles, the president of the United States Conference on Catholic Bishops, issued a statement criticizing Mr. Biden for policies that would, quote, advance moral evils, especially in the areas of abortion, contraception, marriage, and gender. Cardinal Blaise Kupich of Chicago, who is known for his alignment with Pope Francis's social and economic priorities, said this on Twitter. Now, please note, this is the world that we are living in. Jose Gomez, Los Angeles, says, Mr. Biden's policies advance moral evils like abortion, undermining marriage, contraception, gender. The liberal Catholic says, his statement is unprecedented and ill-considered. He's the problem. That is, This is happening so much. Have you smelt this yet? Where somebody who totes anything of a resembling a moral line, just a traditional Western value, is now the terrorist. Remember Lila Rose? A three-word tweet, abortion is violence. And then Dr. Linda Torres responded by saying, that is domestic terrorism. What? What is up is down. What is left is right. And what is going on in our world is nothing other than a reflection of beliefs. Our world is wonky. But it doesn't just need better policies or better thinking. It needs better believing. And until that happens, their thinking will still be stinking. Ergo, we need to not be getting so agitated about their decisions, but start evangelizing them. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, the Baylor Lariat, which is the student newspaper at Baylor University, has now apologized for calling a professor's comments transphobic after she criticized President Joe Biden's recent executive order, which allows biological males who identify as females to compete in women's sports. Christina Crenshaw, the professor in question, is a recurring lecturer in the English department at Baylor University, and she faced criticism from students and the newspaper after she retweeted a tweet from Daniel Darling, who serves as senior vice president of communications for the National Religious Broadcasters. Darling described Biden's executive order on transgender issues and the expected overturning of the Mexico City policy on abortion as anti-science and bad for human flourishing. Crenshaw responded to that tweet by asking, quote, what if I don't want biological boys in the bathroom with my biological daughter? Do the 99% of us who do not struggle with gender dysphoria have a voice? No. The professor also left a comment on Darling's tweet asking basically the same question. After sending the tweets, Crenshaw quickly faced backlash. She ended up making her Twitter account private following the firestorm. The newspaper captured a screenshot of her reply to Darling and included it as part of an article detailing the criticism Crenshaw has faced, initially describing her comments as transphobic. An editor's note, however, now appears at the top of the article stating, quote, in reporting on this story, we characterize these tweets as transphobic. We have since updated the story to instead describe the statement as controversial. We would like to formally apologize for this error in our reporting. It was irresponsible to publish the story as it was originally posted. We should have simply reported on the facts of the situation, and we would like to apologize to Dr. Crenshaw for this lapse in our publication's journalistic standards and for unfairly labeling her tweets. And speaking to the student newspaper, Dr. Crenshaw's colleague, Dr. Kevin Gardner, who is the English department chair, praised her as one of the most accomplished instructors in the department. A federal appeals court has ruled in favor of Catholic high school students who sued the state of Vermont over a policy that barred students who attended religious high schools from accessing a high school tuition program. The U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals issued an emergency injunction pending resolution before a three-judge panel, barring the state from preventing students who attend religious high schools from accessing the state's town tuitioning program. The program provides students living in towns that do not have access to public high schools with tuition funds to use at a private school of their choice. But the state has prevented the use of those funds to pay for students to attend faith-based institutions. The Second Circuit ruled that the appellants have established a substantial likelihood that they will prevail on the merits of their free exercise claims against the school's defendants. Paul Schmidt, who represented the four high school students and their parents, said, quote, because Vermont decided to provide funds for private education when public schools aren't readily available, it cannot refuse to allow families to use those funds at some schools just because they're religious. The government can't discriminate against religious students and their families by refusing to give them the same benefits that their neighbors receive. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, remember God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, there ain't nothing new under the sun. That doesn't make it less annoying. This is Wretched Radio. The world we are living in is not the first time we have seen upside down thinking. Isaiah pointed it out in chapter 5 when he said, "Woe to those, they think that up is down, what's right is wrong, what's left is right, what's black is white, everything is backwards." And we have seen this historically throughout the ages. In particular, the book that shines the demonstration over and over again of what happens to man's thinking when they abandon God and God abandons them, how bad it can get, the book of Judges. And you read the book of Judges and you think, okay, that was really dumb. It can't get any worse. Nope. Yep, nope, it just got worse. Now, that's got to be the end. But the people just can't get any more foolish than that. Oh, boy, look at what they did. And then it culminates with the story of the priest who marries the concubine, a no-no, out of the gate. And while traveling back home with her, has to stay overnight. She is sent out to satisfy the cravings of wicked men instead of him, so he lets the girl go to her death instead of acting like a man. You'll have to Google that because that's not allowed anymore, but you can read about it in the records. And then what happens? Cuts her up into 12 bits to send her out to the 12 tribes of Israel to go, "So where were you, huh? You should be outraged at this." And then it just keeps going and getting more and more ridiculous with slaying of one of the tribe's men so that they can have the daughter because they wiped out the tribe that actually caused this. And you just go, how foolish can people get? And the answer is that foolish. Utter foolishness. We see it in the book of Judges, and we see this throughout history. And I have to tell you, we are seeing it today in spades. And I hold in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers yet another example of how what used to be horrible is wonderful. And what used to be obvious is fuzzy. Our current president signed an executive order. Can I just tell you, can we have enough with the executive order businesses? This ruling by fiat, can both sides, please, run it through the legislative process. Nevertheless, one guy signs this, the other guy signs that, and back and forth like a ping pong match. Our current president signed an executive order on gender identity and sexual orientation, which would allow boys who think they're girls to use the girls' locker room, showers, bathrooms, and vice versa. And this is how he justified it. Children, and that's what they are, children. Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports. So his deep compassion for a few kids who are temporarily confused, most likely, we've got to let them use the shower that they identify with because we can't have them feeling bad and being barred from the showers. And what about all of the girls who now have to worry about being naked with boys? This is Isaiah 5 all over again. And if you and I don't start learning how to deal with fools, I fear that we might become just as foolish as they are. To that end, would like to share with you from Gentle Reformation on handling a fool. Proverbs, that's the foolish book, if you don't follow it, and it also gives us insight into what makes a fool and how to deal with foolish people, which is the world that we're living in. Right now, one, avoid fools whenever possible. This might help you start to censor yourself on the Twitter machine and the Instagram device. That these vehicles, which, by the way, do you recall the article Tim Challies wrote a while ago about if a fool were inventing social media, it would be Twitter? Maybe, just maybe, it's not wise to be engaging fools. We are clearly told to, quote, leave the presence of a fool, Proverbs 14:7. For a companion of fools will suffer harm, 13:20. Some people would say, well, now wait a second, they're the harvest field. Right. That doesn't mean we don't evangelize people. We absolutely should. But engaging in conversations and discussions with somebody who is a fool is to be avoided because they're going to make you foolish. and they're probably going to make you sin. You just avoid them, evangelize them, absolutely, become chums with them. Not so wise. And if you think that that's unchristian, that's actually an application of biblical wisdom. This is from Proverbs 17:12. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. If you think that it's mean to avoid such people, think of it as spiritual social distancing, and that should make it politically correct in the 21st century. Now, the Proverbs continue. Usually, we should meet them with silence. So somebody says something foolish, we should just zip it. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. 23:9. You're wasting wind. Don't bother. They're foolish. Now, you have to assess them correctly because you do want to reach people. But please remember, the only way that a fool becomes wise is not by simply applying the Proverbs. It's by getting saved. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So this is not an effort to try to teach fools wisdom. This is a reminder. They need salvation. Then they need to apply wisdom, and a wise man doesn't speak in the presence of foolish people. Great commentary from Gentle Reformation. How many talk shows would be canceled if that proverb were universally applied? Since fools are prone to argue, why give them the satisfaction? See Proverbs 29:11. Next, let them bear their due punishment when you're dealing with a fool. Though fools despise correction, that does not mean they should be spared it. So the Proverbs are very wise. It's what they are. In fact, I would like to challenge you, instead of reading a chapter of Proverbs, just read a proverb and meditate on it for the amount of time it would have taken you to read through the entire chapter. You'll have plenty to chew on. And so the Proverbs give us a balanced view of how to deal with fools, and it depends on their level of foolishness. Though fools despise correction, that does not mean that they should be spared it. So if a fool in your home, let's say, does something foolish, they need to pay for what they've earned for their foolish behavior. Condemnation is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools, 19:29. Punishment just comes with the fool's territory. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Fools need to feel the sting of their foolishness. And when a parent always protects a foolish child from consequences, then the parent is the fool. Overprotective parents, overly compassionate teachers, giving them an A when they should have been given an F, that doesn't help a fool. Overzealous judges, all right, now this is your ninth warning, and I mean it this time, fool. Let's do better out there. Overly tolerant officials. It's just brick and mortar. Really, it's just let it burn. We've got insurance after all. No. Now you're being a fool. Fools need to, be punished by the government when they break laws. When we have overzealous, overly compassionate judges and governing officials, it reveals they're actually a bigger fool. Whether it's disobedient children, difficult employees, stubborn congregants, straying shepherds, corrupt politicians, better they hear wisdom's call of, O fools, learn sense through acts of discipline. All of that in an effort to teach us how to deal with people who are utter fools. And I'm telling you, increasingly we are seeing their foolishness revealed. Look what I just found from Tim Challies. When Solomon's Fool created a social media platform, it was Twitter. You apply the Proverbs to Twitter and see if it is a vehicle that we should be utilizing. From Challies, the fool's social media would encourage its users to speak often. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. There's your Proverbs 10:9. Twitter, bring, bring, fire, bring, 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 bring. And the Proverbs say, few words. The fool's social media would provide the context in which a person could destroy himself through hasty, ill-considered words. Don't we see that all the time? I just read one the other day where a politician, and he said it wasn't a good choice of words. He used a foul word on his Twitter. Oops, that's going to stick with you. The one who guards his mouth protects his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The fool's social media would emphasize the quantity of people its users follows rather than the quality. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Twitter filled with them. Why are we joining them? Some foolish considerations from the book of Proverbs. This is Wretched Radio. Yep, I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. 400,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month, and you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
Okay, Boomer, it's time for you to take a step back and examine your behavior. So let's take an honest self-assessment here. Are you being a sharent? Okay, you didn't mishear me. I said sharent. Are you being a sharent? What's a sharent, you ask? Well, a sharent is a parent who shares way too much information about their families, especially their kids, on social media. So, are you a sharent? Because listen, you honestly don't have to be. We have a way better way for you to spend your time. You can head on over to Wretched.org and watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV, listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast, and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. And while you're spending your time wisely at Wretched.org, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? Because without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll just have to go back to embarrassing your kids on social media. And trust me, nobody wants that. Visit Wretched.org today. That's Wretched.org.
Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The following program is not necessarily endorsed by this station, but is provided for informational purposes only. Information provided should not be used as a substitute for your own physician's advice.
This is Wretched Radio. You do not have to take this medicine. I am merely offering it as a possible suggestion if you are feeling the blues, our current culture. Woo! The times, they have changed right in front of us. You, get to be in an interesting chapter in world history. The fall of a nation, when the pillars crumble, when things start going kafritz. You were there to be an eyewitness, and maybe, just maybe, you're just feeling, for whatever this is worth, I wonder if you should not consider, this is just food for thought, perhaps re-altering your understanding of your relationship to, and the Christian church's relationship to, the world. Is it possible that we need a radical adjustment, and that is precisely what God is doing in this big white hot mess of a culture for you? One, is it possible that your diet needs to change? What you are consuming through your news feed, through cable TV, maybe, just maybe, a better balance would help you to feel better. It's acid. And it is, I get it. This is not about sticking our head in the sand, but this is about being joyful. And I'm just speaking personally. If I watch too much of what is going on, which is so fleeting, what is happening today, what's going on tomorrow, the stock market is up, the stock market is down. Look, we don't be dumb, and you watch your investments. But when we consume all of this battery acid, is it any wonder we have an upset stomach? Second thought for your consideration, and this one, believe me, I might want to throw down a what do you call it when you want to just take something back, Jimmy? It's like, I want to be able to do a redo on this. A reclaim check. I might not stand by this, is what I'm trying to say. Was reading about the city of Boston rejecting the Christian flag at City Hall. And the First Circuit was looking at the case to see, did the Christians have their rights violated by not being allowed to fly the Christian flag? And they determined no. And now Christians are upset. Do I get that? Yes. But here's my question. What are we trying to say by putting a Christian symbol, this flag has a cross on it, on top of a government building? What are we trying to communicate? Do I believe that this was a violation of their First Amendment rights? Actually, I do. I do. Why? Because they've allowed like 300 other flags to be flown for everything. And the only one, it appears, that they've rejected is the Christian flag. So do I get that it seems to be a singling out of a particular group? Yeah, I get that. But I'm also asking, why do I want it up there in the first place? Boston, super groovy town. Love Boston. It's not a bastion of conservative politics. In fact, there's many wicked rulings that take place in that pro-abortion city. What am I trying to say? What am I trying to tell the world? And furthermore, just to elevate this a little bit, the symbol of the cross is the ultimate symbol of any sign in human history. The most magnificent thing took place on a cross 2,000 years ago. It is the centerpiece of Christian theology, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. We are, after all, Christians, Christ ones. And that is the symbol of atonement, of redemption, of the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. Why would I want to lend it and put it in a place that does profane things? Why? What am I trying to say? What is the emotion that I have that causes me to go, yeah, you won't take the Christian flag? I get that. We used to be able to do things like that. But our government, and I don't mean every single person in it, but our government is not Christian, despite the fact that right now in Washington, D.C., apparently 88% of everybody in the House and Senate claims to be a Christian. Obviously not. It's not a Christian institution. They are not rendering biblical verdicts. Why am I putting my Christian symbols on a flagpole, on a building that doesn't represent Christ correctly. And I'm just wondering if maybe I need to rethink my desires in this regard from two angles. I do understand my constitutional right. That I get. But my Savior died on a cross. He is truth. He is morality. He is integrity. He is what is right. He is what is just. And I want to put it on, I'm sorry, a profane government building? Why would I do that? And rather than feeling offended that they say no to me, I think it's maybe time to say no to them. No, you don't get to fly the Christian. Why would we let you fly our Christian symbol? Why would we do that? You have nothing to do with Christ. Your institution, incidentally, has nothing to do with God's kingdom. It has nothing to do with the promise of Jesus to build his church. Nothing. You don't get to. That right now, Boston should be bellyaching about Christians. They won't let us fly their flag. Right. Because you're not a Christian institution. And we are not going to identify the work of our Savior with the work that you do as politicians in a liberal city, or frankly, any city for that matter. Maybe, just maybe, turning the tables a little bit would help us to feel better. Number three, perhaps, maybe, possibly, that we would all do well as things continue. You see one more executive order. It's foul. You see another executive order. Yep, there it is. There we go. There it is, evangelicals who said it doesn't matter who you vote for. Here it is. And you just get, okay. Is God working on my heart? Is it time for me to do a self-examination? Is it possible? Perhaps. One from Lamentations 4, how the gold has grown dim, how the pure gold is changed. Lamentations 4, the context is bad stuff is going on. Suffering is taking place. And here is what the lamenter says. How the gold has grown dim, how the pure gold is changed. What used to shine is dull. What used to be interesting isn't. Is it possible that God wants to teach us what he taught Jeremiah as he lamented what was going on to his country, to his city? Money has power. It provides security. This, by the way, taken from, it was an article in the Aquila Post is where I took this. Aquila Report, rather. Money has power. It provides security. It creates identity. It gives options. If we're not careful, it can fuel self-sufficiency. That's why a recession, the loss of a job, the failure of a business, or a city with shuttered factories is an opportunity to reflect on our misplaced trust in our paper-thin financial security. It's true, isn't it? When a 401k loses its value, when the stock market goes woo, or a downsizing announcement arrives, lamenting the loss can awaken your soul to the foolishness of trusting financial security. It's not to say you don't work on financial security. It's about trusting financial security. Is God trying to teach you and me something about money, too? Treating people like saviors. We can come face to face with how much we believe people can fix the problem. Whether it's politics, business, religion. We pin our hopes on people. If that party would win, that person would win, I feel safe. Wrong. Jesus keeps you safe, no matter who is in office. There are a lot of people died under Nero who were Christians. A lot of people lived who were Christians under Nero. It's God who keeps us safe, not an institution or people. He's our Savior. Three, that we crave cultural comfort. Perhaps think of the flag flying over Boston. We like to fit in. We like to be liked. Is it possible God is revealing we have a misplaced priority? Four, we idolize spiritual leaders as we see them crumble, maybe make wrong decisions that you think are the wrong side of the COVID coin regarding the election. Suddenly, you discover that religious leaders have clay feet, and you were perhaps putting stock in a high-profile guy, a famous person, and they tumbled. Maybe that's our lesson. Five, presuming divine favor, that we thought that this was America's covenantal country and God is always going to bless America. not the way that it works. We're not Israel. And there are no promises that God will not do with a nation as he sees fit. And maybe, just maybe, we could take advantage of these rather troublesome times to check our hearts and to see perhaps if we need to alter a few things in our diet, take some things out, and add a whole lot of Jesus in. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.